Biblical help for anxious Christians. Biblical help for anxious Christians. Life is full of challenges, isn't it? Just when we think everything is stable and everything is going well, some new change comes into our lives that can kind of turn everything upside down. Some changes are choices we make. Others are changes that are forced upon us. And those changes that are forced upon us, that can cause some anxiety in life. Changes increase as you get older, and with that often comes a decrease in the ability to handle them. Anybody who's getting older, and when I say older, I'm talking about probably over 60 and moving on, you know changes are taking place in your life. I started noticing changes in my life in my 40s when I hit 40, and you know, because everybody says, well, when you get 40, you'll need glasses, and I hit 40 and there was no problems whatsoever. I thought, I'm cruising. Not me. I'm not getting them. Yeah, you're looking at me and laughing. Don't be so cruel. When I did get them, I got bifocals because my eyes were going downhill. And then I had some treatment, medical treatment I had to go through. And I can't prove this, but I believe the medicine I had to take messed up my eyes and a little bit more. And so now I've got an issue as far as focus. And so then it was that. And then there was this thing and there was that thing and so forth. And as you get older, there are challenges, okay? They can increase, and yet at the same time, our level of attention to them and our sense of ability in dealing with them can decrease, and that can cause anxiety in life. The result for many, worry and fear and anxiety become, in some lives, regular challenges, okay? Then you put on top of that the changes in our world. Even people who were, you know, doing everything, jumping through all the hoops, doing what they're supposed to do as far as planning for retirement. And so then things get bumped back. And well, I was going to retire at this point. I can't do that because, you know, the crash, what was it, in 2008 or whenever that was? That messed up everything for me, and so it pushed things back, and so I'm fearful now if I retire, is something else going to happen, and now I've got to go back to work, but I left my place of employment, and just one thing after another, all these different things start going through our heads. Possible, and I emphasize the word possible scenarios. Remember that, possible. The reason I emphasize that is because there's a good chance none of those things will take place. They could, but it's a good chance they won't. And so why is it that we're worrying about those things? What do we do with all of this, okay? And then all the issues that we're looking at in the world today, the weakness in the White House, which is making our enemies more bold and brazen as far as how they approach America and their plans for America, and then the treasonous act of not securing our borders and letting all these enemies come into our nation. You getting anxious yet? Anyways, Pastor, are you worried about it? Not in the big picture. I'm not. I'm concerned, but I'm not worried about it. But look at Matthew 6:19. Jesus speaks to us today about some very important things. We covered these verses last night. I'm only using them as a launching point. He said in verse 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." It's where our mind should be. Thinking in terms of the eternal, the spiritual. That's where our minds need to be. That's a key. "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also," okay? So we're going to look at several aspects of this idea of biblical help for anxious Christians. The first one is this, we need to understand. God's purpose for us. The Christian, and I'm going to define a Christian in just a minute. The Christian is to be occupied with a different purpose and goal in life than the lost world. We've seen that already in verses 19 through 21. Our focus should not be treasures on earth. Our focus should not be the stuff of this world. Our focus should be that which is eternal in the heavens, which is technically where we're at, but we're just not there yet. You might say, what do you mean by that? Romans 8 says, if you've trusted Jesus Christ the Savior, we have already been glorified. We're as sure of heaven as if we're already there. That's what the Bible teaches for the believer. That's what the Bible teaches. And so we are to be occupied with different purpose and goal in life. As believers, we understand in God's word that we were created to bring glory to God. We just sang about that. To live for him. We are created to bring the lost to Christ. That's why Jesus came, to seek and to save that which is lost. And if I am Christ-like, I share that same burden and that same concern. Therefore, he doesn't want us to get bogged down with what the lost people get bogged down with. He is our Father. He has pledged, as we are going to see today, to take care of us. Those of you who are parents, I hope it comes natural to you to take care of your children. I hope you just figure that's kind of you're supposed to do that, and you're glad to do that, take care of your children. If you have that desire as a parent, imagine how great it is of God himself, seeing he's the one who made us the way we are. He's the perfect parent, the perfect parent. Don't get bogged down with the stuff of this world. The Lord said he will take care of us. Years ago, by the way, it's funny how commercials change over time, or how companies take different paths with their commercials. Years ago, there was an insurance company, and I'm going to let you fill in the last word, and you know where I'm going with this, some of you. You're in good hands with Allstate Insurance. Isn't it interesting today that their guy today is called Mayhem? How many of you have seen any of those commercials? They're a riot. I love it. Every time there's a new one, it says, yeah. But you know what? Allstate says they'll take care of Mayhem. I kind of like you're in good hands better. And you know, when I think of that, I think of the everlasting arms and the good hands of God, our Father. Listen, you're in good hands with Allstate. That may be true, but we are in the best hands that there are as believers, God's hands. Hold your place here and go with me over to John chapter 10. It says in John chapter 10, in verse 28, Jesus is speaking about his sheep. They're the ones who hear his voice. They listen to him. They believe what he says. They're believers is what he's getting at here. They follow his way of salvation, and that is the context here in chapter 10. But it says this about his sheep, those who are believers. He says, and I give unto them eternal life, verse 28, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. They shall never perish. That word, it's a double negative, okay? It's actually even more than that. The word never means there's several words compounded and put together into that one word. It means never, under any circumstance, no way, ever, forever could this happen. The emphasis is absolute. You cannot lose your salvation once you have it. You cannot lose it. We are in good hands with Jesus Christ. Why is that? Well, let me explain it to you. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, you can turn there as well if you'd like. It says this, but God commendeth or displayed, put on display, his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can I ask you today, if you died right now, do you know for sure you go to heaven? Do you know for sure? If you don't know for sure, there's a very good chance you're not going to heaven. Because you really can't know for sure you're going there until you know you can't go there. That's the fact. I know I'm going to heaven. Why? Because I know, according to Scripture, and I'll explain it right now, I can't go to hell. I can't go to hell. Not that I would want to, but I can't. Let me explain to you why. This hand representing you and me. Let my wallet represent all the things we do wrong. The Bible has a word for it. It's called sin. We're all sinners. Here we are. We are all sinners, including me. The message of the Bible is this. God loves us. He hates sin, hates our sin, but he loves us. You see, friend, sin is what separates us from God. You cannot go to heaven with your sin. The book of Revelation tells us that heaven is a perfect place, not even one lie. Nothing that defiles can enter heaven. To get into heaven, all my sins have to be gone, but I've got a problem. I'm a sinner. Not only that, but the problem gets worse. Because we have sinned against God, he says our sin has to be paid for. The wages of sin, the Bible declares, is death. Not only physical death, but eternal separation from God for all eternity. If I'm going to pay for my sin, the payment I must make is eternal separation from God forever. Most people say, well, I know what I'll do to get to heaven. I'll do good works. I'll go to church. I'll get water baptized. I'll make promises. I'm going to turn from all my sins. No one has ever done that, ever in the history of the world, by the way. No one. What about Jesus? He had no sin. No sin to turn from. Turning from sin does not pay for sin. You can try to turn away from it, but the truth of it is sin is inside, okay? And you can spin until you're dizzy and you won't turn from all your sins. Go to church. I already mentioned that. Give money. Follow Christ with your life. Try to do good deeds. Be a good person. Do your best. Persevere to the end. None of that pays for sin. The only payment is death. The Bible says we're not saved by trying to do good. Matter of fact, it says right up here, for by grace are you saved, not by works. It doesn't say for by works are you saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. So then what are we going to do? If the best I can do will not pay for my sin, I am in a bad predicament, because if I die with it, I am lost forever. By the way, no second chances. So what are we going to do? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This hand representing the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, he came into the world, he lived a perfect life, and when he went to the cross, he took my sin and yours upon himself, and he paid for it so we do not have to. How much of it did he pay for? He paid for all of it, your whole lifetime of sin, on the cross. When he died, he said, it's finished. That means paid in full. He was buried and he rose from the grave. And he says this in his word, that if you will believe in him, trust in him for your salvation to get to heaven, trust in him as your Savior, the moment you do, he gives you everlasting life. God, Romans 5:8 again, God commended his love towards us. Wow. In that while we were yet sinners. You notice it doesn't say, while we forsook all of our sins, once we forsook all of our sins or meant business with God. Or No. Just the way we are, sinners. While we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. When you trust in him, he gives you everlasting life and all your sin is taken care of. Now, if all your sin is gone, if the wages of sin is death and all your sin is gone, then what can send you to hell? There's nothing to send you to hell. What keep you out of heaven? There's nothing to keep you out of heaven. And all he's asking you to do is trust in him that he did that for you. And he'll give you everlasting life. Jesus said it. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath, that means possesses right now, everlasting life. If it's everlasting, he'll never lose you, he'll never cast you out. Never cast you out. See, this is good news. Those who have trusted Jesus Christ the Savior are his children. By the way, only those who have trusted Jesus Christ the Savior are his children. And God has pledged to take care of his children. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. He says, therefore I say unto you, therefore I say unto you, take no thought. Remember that phrase. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat or food, and the body than raiment? The word therefore refers back to the fact that the Lord is God, and therefore it only makes sense for us to serve him and live for him as his children. He's God. He has a plan. He has desires for us. He said we should be laying up treasures in heaven. How? By living for him. So this only makes sense. So we see that we are not to take thought for our life, what we shall eat, what we shall drink, etc., okay? So leads us to our second point, God's mindset for us. How does God want us to think? Listen, there are times when things come in and challenge us. Changes in life, changes in health, changes in circumstances, changes in family, changes in occupation. All these things are there. They can be overwhelming at times. I get that. Now, you may be the kind of person who says, no, I don't worry about anything. Well, good for you. But you know what? Most people aren't that way. As a matter of fact, how do you know that? Well, Jesus is addressing the problem. That's how I know that. If he's addressing the problem, that means there's a problem. God's mindset for us, and it is simply this, take no thought. It means don't worry about things or don't have an anxious care about things. Anxiety is a major problem today. I think we all deal with it at times. Again, there may be some who don't, but I'm not among you. There are things I get anxious about, I get challenged about. It means don't worry about things. This word, take no thought, this phrase, this word thought occurs 6 times in 8 verses here. Jesus says it over and over, take no thought, take thought, take no thought, okay? Over and over and over in these verses. And that, by the way, is something worth highlighting in your Bible beginning in verse 25 through the end of the chapter. Now, when it says take no thought, it does not mean that we don't think about things and instead we just live carelessly. Well, I've got some bills mounting up. Oh, well, the Bible says take no thought. I'll just let it be. There's a word for people like that. It's called homeless. No, it's not being irresponsible. Listen, folks, everybody, if you can, everybody should be working. Do you understand that? The Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Says that, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Every believer should be working. Listen, we need to be, especially you men, okay? You need to be providing for your family. This is God's way. This is what the Bible teaches. Man is the leader in the home. Doesn't mean your wife can't work. I didn't say that. But still, man should be doing that, and we should be working. Again, don't be careless with the way you live. One of the main reasons, though, that we worry is because we lose perspective. And that's the problem. We lose perspective. We lose sight of the big picture. We fail to see as God sees. This life is temporary. Worry does not change tomorrow. It only robs today of its joy. If we worry, we can't trust. If we trust, we won't worry. You might say, well, I trust the Lord, but I'm still worrying. Here's what's going on, and this is why we get exhausted with that. We're going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth with it. Okay, Lord, I'm trusting you with this. Yeah, but what if this happens over? You see the problem? Are we really trusting him? Listen, I'm not talking down to anybody. This is the battle that goes on in people. I'd say, well, I don't worry about stuff like that. What if something comes into your life that challenges you in this area? We have to keep perspective, folks. I'm not saying it's always easy, but that is what God wants us to do. Again, worry does not change tomorrow. It only robs today of its joy. If the Lord is our heavenly Father, look at it, point A, subpoint A. If the Lord is our heavenly Father, he will take care of us. He is God. He owns all things. He will surely take care of his children. Why? Because he said he would. He said he would, therefore it is a fact. We shouldn't be questioning it. We should be resting in that. Secondly, though, if our God is God, then we can stop worrying because he is in control. If our God is God, then his way is the best way. And this is what he gives us in our text here. Look at verse 26 now. He says, behold, the fowls of the air. He says, you guys are worrying about stuff. He says, okay, you're worrying about where life is going to go for you. Let me give you some examples. What about the birds? For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father, you notice that? This is the key, your heavenly Father. And if you're a believer, you can say that. Your heavenly Father feedeth them. And look at what he says. Are ye not much better than they? You're more valuable than they are. Verse 27. Which of you by, there's that phrase again, taking thought. Which of you by taking thought can add 1 cubit unto his stature? Let me just say this, verses 26 through 27. The word stature, okay? It means it can refer to your stature as far as how tall you are, but it can also refer to your age. You know, we always think in terms of height, especially those of us who are shorter. You got a Napoleon complex. No, I don't. I'm fine with this. I do know this. The higher you get, the more difficult it is to breathe. There's less oxygen down there. I breathe just fine. It can also refer to length of life. And is that not something people are anxious about? It's okay to be concerned about your health, but anxious about it? We get anxious sometimes about it. Here's the point. The Lord is in control of the length of our days. Yes, folks, we should take care of our bodies, be reasonable about it. Don't be a nut. Be reasonable about it. Don't think because you eat grass, you're going to live to 100. The Lord Almighty, He is also our Heavenly Father of those who have trusted Christ the Savior. Our Father. What a wonderful name He's referred to in this passage, our Father. If you're a believer, He's your Father. He's your Abba. And it's a wonderful thing. Third, if the Lord's will is to take care of the creatures in this world, shall He not take care of His very own children? The answer to that is yes. My wife and I were in our little dining area in our house, and there are sliding glass doors there into the yard, and the patio, and then the yard, and we were there yesterday having devotions and reading and discussing. And I looked out, and there's, now, what was it? 20 below or whatever the temperature was, and then on top of that, the wind chill. And here's three squirrels up in the trees. You think they'd be down on the ground out of the wind. Nope. They're up in the trees, up there, eating. At one point, there were two of them just going at each other. Just I don't know if they were fighting or playing. I've never stopped to ask them. They probably wouldn't tell me. I can't tell the difference. But anyways, they were just back and forth, up and down. And all this going on, I'm thinking to myself, if I was out there without a winter coat on, I'd probably be dead. And yet God takes care of those little creatures. If He takes care of those little creatures, would He not take better care of the crown of His creation, man? Yes, especially those who are His children. The Lord providing for creation illustrates His reliability to us and His faithfulness to us. Let's go to verse 28. It says, "Why take ye thought?" There it is again. Take thought. Take ye thought. "Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, because of that, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you?" And here's the key today, folks. "O ye of little faith." That's our problem right there. Which leads us to our third point, God's victory for us. The problems we face are not the problem. The problem is usually our lack of faith in the Heavenly Father. Now, I know that's easy preaching, hard living, but it doesn't make it false. It is true nonetheless. Verse 30, "O ye of little faith." Verse 31, as we're going to see, is in response to our fears and worry, which is, in fact, a lack of faith. I didn't say it's not challenging. We should not get insulted with what I just said because it's right out of the text. Our anxiety, our worry, our thought, our fretting, we just have to learn, folks, and it's not easy, but we have to learn to trust the Lord, to trust Him with these things, to rest in His care, in His promises that He has given us. Verse 31, therefore, and because of this, because of what He just said, therefore, take no thought, don't worry about it, saying, "What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed?" Verse 32, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." You notice verse 32, our heavenly Father knows that we have need. These are not secrets then. These are not things. Lord, haven't you been paying attention to me? Don't you know I have needs? Yes, the Lord knows that. He's got it under control. You notice, by the way, he says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. The Gentiles, representing the lost of this world, do not have God as our Father. Therefore, they are seeking to get all this stuff. Their concern is their worldly concerns. That's all they know because they don't have a Heavenly Father to provide for them. Now, again, I'm not talking about be lazy and just say, well, I'm just trusting the Lord. I'm just trusting the Lord. It's not talking about that. They are not citizens of heaven, so they only think of the things of this world, but it should not be so for the child of God. Our Father knows the cattle on 1,000 hills. He even owns the hills. He owns everything. Psalm 50, verse 10 says, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. What did David say towards the end of his life in Psalm 37? He said in Psalm 37, 25, he says, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. What is the bottom line in the victory over worry, over anxiety? Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Our commitment should be to seek the kingdom of God and to put him first. When it says seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, what it's talking about is trusting in the Lord and obeying his word. That's what he's talking about. Trusting in the Lord and obeying his word. And if we trust in the Lord and obey his word, he will take care of our needs. We are trusting him to do that. We need to believe his word, submit to it, and live in obedience to it. He promises if we do that, he will take care of us. He promises that. Be content in that promise. He will provide our needs. Now you might say, well, wait a minute, Pastor. What about people who are martyrs? Okay? Who controls the length of your life? God does. He was done with them in the sense of he used their life. They were faithful, and now it was time for them to come home. Listen, going to heaven is not a bad thing. It's a wonderful thing, and God controls that. But him providing our needs to where we don't need to be anxious about them, whatever they are, him providing our needs, it may not happen the way we think it should, but it's still true. Not only that, but the Bible tells us Jesus is faithful and true. I believe our choir sang that this morning. Revelation 19:11 says, when I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called faithful and true. Did you know that those are two of the names of the Lord Jesus Christ? He's got many names. King of kings, Lord of lords, mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, Savior, Shepherd. You can go on and on and on with it. Notice, though, in these verses that we've covered today, that seeking the Lord is the key. The Lord honors faith and rest in him. I know this works. Do I always remember it? No. And that's where the challenge in life comes. We don't always remember it. But we need to always remember it because it is true. I can remember when I was in Bible college my sophomore year, we had to go and have our plan for the year and how we were going to. I worked my way through Bible college, okay? And so we had to have a plan of the year and how we were going to get through and pay our school bill by the end of the year. They wanted it paid by the end of the year. And if it wasn't paid, you probably wouldn't be coming back because they could not allow that to go on. And so I remember going into Reverend Busby. He was a pastor, but he was also the one in charge of that at the college. And I met with him and he said, how are you going to pay your bill? The way you showed me your numbers and everything, what you're making, and doesn't look like you're hardly going to have anything to live on. I had $1 a day for food. $1 a day. Now, don't worry about it. I didn't die. But God took care of me. And I said this to him. I said, Pastor, this is where God wants me to be. I'm serving the Lord with my life. I'm working. I believe God will take care of my needs. And he looked at me and he just got a smile on his face. He said, fine. And I did. I made it through just totally fine. Now, there were other students. Here's what they did. God wants me in Bible college. God wants me to study the Word. And so I'm going to Bible college. Okay, well, how are you going to pay your school bill? Well, God's just going to take care of it. Well, don't you think you ought to get a job? No, I don't. I'm here to just study the Word. God will take care of my school. Yeah, exactly. God will take care of my school bill. Guess what? In most cases, he did not take care of their school bill. You know why? Because they were irresponsible with it. God doesn't say, seek ye first the kingdom of God, don't work. No, we do what's normal to do, but at the same time, we trust the Lord. We walk by faith and obedience. You know, the Bible's very clear. It says, owe no man anything. If you rack up a school bill or big bills because you owe people money, you're out of the will of God. Don't expect God to take care of you. The creditors will take care of you. Let's use our heads. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. All right, our last verse in Matthew 6, and then we're going to close in Philippians. But in Matthew 6:34, therefore, you guessed it, take no thought for the morrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. For tomorrow, the morrow, shall take thought, there it is again, for the things of itself, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Remember what I said earlier? Worry, it doesn't help today. It only robs today of its joy. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. God has asked us to live one day at a time. It doesn't mean it's not good to plan, but understand this. Ultimately, folks, it's not in our schemes or cleverness that provides for us. It's God himself. By the way, if your faith is in you and what you can do, God could get it off of yourself really quickly if he desired, real fast. As a believer, we need to trust our Father. Let's go to Philippians 4. You know, I know because we're human. We're here today, and I don't know what it is, but I do know this in this audience that we have today, and those of you watching the internet are probably no different there. There are people that are going through difficult things, and you're worrying about them. You have anxiety. You're anxious about them. Let's just do this today. Let's take this study. Let's take what we've learned. Let's look at these scriptures. Why don't you this week go back over and review these things? By the way, do you know that is something that is a blessing to do? My dear friend, Arnie Kahara did that regularly. He'd go over his notes. He'd take incredible notes. He could read them. If you saw his handwriting, you know what I'm talking about. And yes, he was left-handed, but don't hold that against them. Left-handed people are the only ones in their right mind. Anyway, I'm just joking. But he was an avid note taker, right? And you know what? He would review those notes. And many times when we had family camp, there were years when he would give the last message on Friday morning. And what it was it was a review of the week. And it was like he was a walking tape recorder. And he put it all together into one message and he shared it at camp. Not sure why I told you that. Oh, yeah, review it. Review your notes this week. Philippians 4, it says this, be careful for nothing. The word careful means anxious. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And look at this, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let me give you three applications here, okay? Number one is this. Acknowledge to the Lord that he is God and not you. When you start getting anxious about something, just stop, acknowledge to the Lord that he is God and you are not God. Therefore, he can do a better job with your life than you can. Secondly, saturate your mind with the Word of God. Saturate your mind. Find peace in the scriptures. Commit helpful verses to memory and keep them close at hand as reminders, okay? Most of you now, these days, you have a smartphone. You can have a Bible apps on there. I use eSword on mine. It's both in you can get it on an Apple phone and also on an Android phone. You can get that app. It's excellent. And you can make bookmarks, and those are, it just marks certain verses. And you can make a list of verses that if you're struggling with issues, these verses, you're finding comfort, and you carry that around with you. Some people, old school, but it still works beautifully, 3x5 cards. And they've got verses that are helping them deal with the things they're facing each day. And when you let the scriptures, God speaks to you through the word of God. It's God, your Father, speaking to you. And these things keep reminding us, go back here, go back here. Go. Don't forget this. Don't forget this. Don't forget this. And those things help deal with the challenges that come our way. Saturate your mind on this. Third, when you're tempted to worry, give the problem to the Lord and keep your hands down off of it. Now, what do I mean by that? Let's say this is my problem. I have a problem. It's weighing me down. And I say, Lord, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to give this to the Lord. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Lord, I'm giving this to you. And when you give it to him, let him have it. And once you've given it to him, put your hands down. Don't go like this, and he takes it, and then you reach up and you grab it back. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You know what happens? We get exhausted. We get exhausted. And lastly, live for Christ the best you can and serve others. Live for Christ the best you can and serve others. Let me close with this today. Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world. You do not go to heaven except by trusting in him as your Savior. John 3:16 puts it this way, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, that's all he's asking you to do, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Two promises to the one who will trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. You trust in him as Savior, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, go to hell, but have everlasting life. Go to heaven. You won't end up in hell. You go to heaven instead. And it's a gift if you'll simply trust in Christ today. Well, friends, that concludes this edition of Voice of Assurance. Thanks so much for listening. And would you share this ministry with a friend? To contact us or learn more about our ministry, please visit www.northlandchurch.com. Your prayers and support for this ministry are greatly appreciated. Thank you so much, and God bless you.